Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the east. I can see paradise, Nova Scotia, and who doesn't want to see paradise? I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto, and this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Today, we're going to have some fun. Artie Modi is with us. Artie is the founder and CEO of LendingArc, LendingArc.com, LendingArc, LendingArc.com. Artie, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you very much.
I am excited to talk to you. We've been doing an ongoing series about crowdfunding. You're crowdfunding with a bit of a different spin. LendingArc, it says on the website, think outside the bank. I can't wait to get into it, but let's step back a little bit. Tell us about yourself and how you came to found LendingArc.
First of all, again, thank you so much, Robert, for speaking with me about LendingArc. It's the company that we're really, really passionate about. Founded it earlier last year as a company by myself, my brother, and our third founder, Raj Singh. I'll take it back a little bit, if you don't mind, to about 8 years ago when the three of us founded our first company called OmniArc, similar ending in the name. The whole premise behind OmniArc was that we wanted to bring institutional-style investments and break them down for the retail, everyday investor. Our real passion here is about the ability to bring financial advancement to everyday Canadians. And that thread really does ring true right through to the LendingArc company, which is a consumer online lending platform for everyday Canadians to be able to pay off expensive debt and to be able to qualify for far more reasonable and affordable loan options. So LendingArc itself, it's a Canadian company. We founded it earlier last year and we actually went live last week.
So why is now the right time? Why did you determine this was the time to launch LendingArc in Canada? Do you have models around the world that you've been looking at, or is there something unique about the Canadian marketplace?
You know, it's a combination of the two, Robert. My brother and I were actually British, so we have a lot of exposure to what's happening in the fintech scene in Europe. That being said, we're located in Canada, and we do have a lot of exposure to what's happening in fintech in the U.S. So if you take Europe and you take the U.S. and you say, well, what's happening in marketplace lending, online lending, what's happening in disruption in general with the banks and the way consumers are interacting with their finances, and you can very quickly see a trend that there's this massive, massive shift happening where millennials are starting to say, I don't really want to go to a bank to get any of my financial services. If I can get all of my activities done right now with instant gratification using apps like Uber or using Netflix, which is exactly what I do as a millennial, why can't I access my financial services the same way? And why we feel Canada is the right time is because after studying what's happening in Europe and in the U.S. and seeing the amount of traction that's happening with the marketplace lenders in both of those different areas, we immediately saw that Canada would be ripe for this type of a product and that the consumers in Canada deserve to be able to have affordable loan options so that they could break that credit card cycle debt.
Let's talk for a second about fintech. I'm fascinated by it because I keep hearing about it. Over the last 6-8 months, everybody's talking to me about fintech and medtech, but let's focus on fintech, which I was surprised to see it get so much hype in the last little while because financial technology has been around for a long, long time, whether it's online banking or doing something with your cell phone or even an ATM. These are all versions of fintech, but why did it get to be such a sexy number right now, fintech?
You know, I think there's a couple of different reasons around that. When you talk about apps like online banking or the fact that banks have been coming out with various forms of technology for a really long time, that's all well and true. However, has it actually converted into consumer adoption? I don't know whether that's actually happening. And I think when you take a product and you make it so accessible for millennials who are the biggest drivers for these online applications, I think when that crossover happens, there's a massive surge in whatever industry you're disrupting. So right now, it happens to be fintech, financial technology. I think the fact that there's so much investment happening from the venture capital world all over the place in various forms of financial technologies, it's promoting so many different levels of disruption here, whether it's in the payment side, whether it's online consumer lending, online small business lending. There's so many different areas that are being disrupted right now because A, there's a massive attention on the space from the media, which is fantastic, and B, you're getting this push and this massive demand from millennials who ultimately are just dissatisfied with the type of financial services, the type of fintech that banks used to produce or are still producing, and are now saying, we have higher standards, we have higher needs, we want products that truly are disrupting and are more so enhancing our lives. So I think now is this massive combination of everything happening in what I like to call a perfect storm.
And in reality, all of this has been going on for 10 or 15 years now, since the internet boom of the many years ago when people said, oh no, it's boom bust, but it didn't bust. There was a bit of a flushing out of those companies that couldn't survive. Disruption's been the key to the internet all along, and now I guess it's sort of caught up to this area. It took 10 or 15 years to get here.
I think that's the right way to put it, yes.
So let's look at differentiating LendingArc here in Canada, what you're doing from other online lenders in Canada and the U.S. What's the difference, and how are you going to protect that differentiation?
So the biggest difference between LendingArc and some of the other players that are in the space here in Canada alone is that the market that we're able to service are not only the prime and the super prime, so those that have very good credit scores. We are able to service those that we call future prime. So an example of a future prime would have been me 12, 13 years ago, graduated through university, and I was one of the lucky ones where my parents basically paid my way through university. It's a cultural thing as well. So I never actually had to use my credit card. Although I had one, I didn't actually use it. So ultimately, I graduate through university and I have this credit card. I haven't used it much. I go to the bank. I try and get a really good loan out. But unfortunately, I don't have heavy credit files. So I don't have a credit history to be able to receive an affordable loan rate. I look at myself and I say, okay, I demonstrated the behavior and the financial literacy of somebody that would be a really good borrower. But because of the way that the banks assess credit, I would unfortunately not qualify for a good rate. And what LendingArc is about is being able to capture all of those millennials, all of those people that have just immigrated to the country, that maybe divorcees that have been reliant on their spouse's credit and haven't built a credit file, or in other words, are what are called thin file. And our ability to underwrite those borrowers is what makes us different to our competitors. So we call them future prime because it doesn't mean that because they don't have a big credit score or they don't have a heavy credit file, it doesn't mean that they are subprime or bad borrowers. It simply means they just don't have enough information about them to qualify them for prime borrowing rates. So what we're able to do is we look at the borrower from a 360-degree picture. We like to call it merit-based lending versus solely credit-based lending, which we believe is the future. Our algorithms, our way of being able to identify our borrowers, is really looking at the borrower from a 360-degree picture. So we don't just look at their credit score. We don't just look at what their income is. Although those are important features, we want to look at the borrower and say, what is your employment like? Where are you working? What is your employment stability like? What industry are you in? What is your education like? How did you do in school? And then we go into a whole section on financial literacy, which are questions that the banks simply don't ask. We want to know, how responsible is this borrower about the money that we're going to lend them? And there's a huge amount of data that we're able to put together from financial literacy, education, employment, credit, etc., to be able to build this picture, to be able to find those future prime borrowers from those that have dropped off what our competitors were unable to underwrite or what the banks simply cannot look at. And we call them future prime, and the intention is that through our financial advancement programs, because we're really big on education, we're able to, over time, graduate those borrowers from future prime right through to prime, and then ultimately to super prime.
So let's talk about challenges. When you created and launched LendingArc, there's two sides to this coin. There's the borrowers and there's the lenders. Let's address each one separately, but what are the challenges, the biggest challenge you faced when looking at this from both sides, borrowers and lenders?
So I think from the borrower side, the biggest challenge is always going to be customer acquisition. It's a very expensive thing to do, which is marketing online. You're obviously competing online. Some of the most expensive words online are insurance and investing, and then, of course, lending. So you're competing with some of the most expensive words online. That is definitely a challenge because it's a business at the end of the day. So what we're doing to work around that, we're heavily focused on channel partnerships and strategic partnerships. We have an entire division in the company that is right now now working very heavily in those different channels. And what that will do is it will basically bring us customers at the point that they need a loan, but without using online digital marketing to be able to market to them. So it's a very big part of our company, but it's definitely something that requires a lot of attention and thought and a lot of partnership negotiations and a lot of explaining the benefits about what we can do. On the investor side, it's a little bit different. You'd think that the challenge would be getting investors on board and see the opportunity behind being a lender in this space. We don't find that as big a challenge as we originally had thought. It may be because our background is in fund management. So I joke about it, but when you say the word fintech, we really come into this as the fin part of fintech because our background is all in finance and in capital markets. So I think that's a really important part here. At the end of the day, there's a treasury component, there's a credit risk component, and there's obviously the part of the business where you actually have to be generating revenue. And we can demonstrate those things to our investors because we've gone through many investment fund cycles. We have managed over 6,000 investors in our previous and our continuing businesses. So we've got this existing pool of investors that have trusted our company over the last 8 years. So to be able to offer them more investment opportunity, which we call diversification for them, is actually not as big a challenge as being able to convert borrowers to come to the platform.
So let's get a crystal ball out here and let's take a look at where you see the evolution of online lending. And I know it's a natural fit with crowdfunding. So how do you see this whole thing fitting together? Let's say 4 years from now, in 2020, how is online lending going to fit into the sphere of fintech, millennials, the next evolution of financial management?
I believe, and I see the trend happening this way as well, that online lending is going to become as norm as using an Uber to get a car, Airbnb to get a hotel. I think that millennials are going to naturally graduate and gravitate to this form of managing this part of their financial life. It's actually going to be a different situation and slightly weird for a millennial to consider even walking into a bank to do these types of transactions. So I think that the industry is going to move in that direction. I think it's going to happen very, very fast, faster than we can imagine. The challenges are obviously going to be around the regulatory side of things because ultimately we want to make sure that the investors and the consumers are being protected. When you have a really fast-paced industry, regulation has to come. And I think that's something that's going to potentially change the scope and the way this industry looks. But it's going to be hopefully in the favor of both the consumer and the investor. I think it's interesting to say when you said, what's it going to look like in 2020 and how is that crystal ball going to look? I think it's interesting because Canada, to me, is 5 to 7 years behind what's happening in the UK and in the US. So it's a bit easier to say, what's that crystal ball going to look like? And if you look at what's happening in the UK with online lending, whether it's on the consumer side or the small business side, it doesn't matter, even crowdfunding for that matter. It's now looked at as if it's high street activity. It's mainstream, it's day-to-day. There is so much movement happening in that space that it's now become the norm for consumers to not only check what the bank rate would be, but what an online lending rate would be. And I can see that happening in Canada, and I'm really excited about what that opportunity can mean for LendingArc.
You know, we spent a lot of time here talking about millennials. I'm kind of thinking, what's going to happen in the generation, whatever we call them, after the millennials? Is one of these people yet unborn going to turn to their watch and say, I need 20 grand, get it from the local bank and put it against my credit card? I mean, who knows where this is going when you start bringing in all this other technology and you take it 15 or 20 years down the road?
I think that's a really good point. An anecdote here is we have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and both of them know how to turn on our phones. They know how to put in a password. They can go to whatever app they want to go to. They can turn off the app. And these guys are 2 and 4, so it's innate in the next generation to be able to transact in this way. And I think that for me, there's so much innovation. I think for the industry, actually, there's so much innovation here. So when you say, would the next generation look on their phone and say, I'd like a loan for $20,000, I think where this industry is going and we're most passionate about putting our R&D capital towards is really being able to offer real-time rate reductions for consumers who are de-risking their lifestyle in real time. And those transactions and those types of disruptions are going to happen not only in fintech, but also in insurance and many other industries. So if you can imagine, you're a consumer, 20 years old, and this is 20 years in the future. hopefully sooner than that, but you decide to not take up rock climbing, which was one of your passions, and you decide to say, I'm not going to do rock climbing anymore, or I'm not going to do this activity anymore, or I'm going to de-risk my lifestyle by taking financial education courses, so on and so forth, so that it's actually going to benefit the way that I'm able to repay my loan, and being able to recognize the consumer in real time for taking that de-risking lifestyle decision, and being able to give them a rate reduction in real time for doing that. I think there's so much innovation that's going to happen in those directions. And I think that's where the entire fintech industry, banks are going to have to go that way and fintech is going to go that way. And I think that eventually there's going to be a merge between the two. And I don't know what that looks like, but it sure looks fantastic.
Okay, Artie, let's put you on a soapbox now and have you share some lessons. The three lessons that you learned about launching a niche online financial services business that will apply to the launch of any new business, virtual or physical. What do you say?
I think the first thing is that the minimum viable product that you put out, although a lot of people in technology say just put something out and if you're not happy with it, that's actually a good way to put it out. If you're really happy with the way that the minimum viable product works, you've probably worked on it too long. I personally disagree with that. I think that you need to put something out there. You only get one chance to look good. And I think that as long as it looks good and it's functional, I think the first thing to do is get that platform out and be proud of it and then use it as a stepping stool to be able to do further iterations, whether that's an online consumer store, whether it's your new app or an online marketplace. It doesn't matter. But as a team, your team has to be super proud of the work they put into it and really want to show it off. The second piece of advice is don't underestimate how much it's going to cost from a marketing perspective to get that product or that online platform launched and known about. It's very important, especially in this day and age where there is so much competition online, that you have a decent marketing budget to be able to actually position and market the platform that you're putting out there. So that's a really big thing, and it's a very important thing that I hope startups listen to, because we've been there and we've seen what can happen when you don't have enough marketing and nobody knows about you, and when you do have a good marketing budget and you're able to really show the benefits of what your platform. And third, I think it's always good to have a team of evangelists. What I mean by that is everybody that works in your company, going back to being proud of the platform, they are the first evangelists of your company. We have people in our team, they're millennials, and they're part of our marketing division. Friday night, they go to the bar after work, and they are telling everybody about this amazing financial technology company that they're working on. And they're so proud and so excited about being part of this disruptive world and being able to make a difference in people's lives. I think treat your team and your corporate culture very, very close to your heart, because they're the first people that are going to talk good about your company.
Very well said. I couldn't agree more. Artie Modi, founder and CEO, LendingArc, LendingArc.com. Artie, thank you for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you so much, Robert. I really appreciate it.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, managing partner of Bennett Gold, LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. If you want to see how we frontline our marketing, check us out at bennettgold.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night, Paradise, Nova Scotia.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold, LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.